Hello, and welcome to Be Creator, Serious Influence, the podcast all about the creator economy. I'm Alice Audley, and I'm the founder of Be Creator, formerly known as Blogosphere. Be Creator are the UK specialists in creator events. We run category-specific shows, such as the Beauty, Travel, and Health and Wellbeing Creator Show, which bring together brands, talent managers, and creators for a day of exhibitions, panels, presentations, and networking. And we also run the Be Creator Awards, our flagship event, which celebrates the best UK creators and creator marketing campaigns of the year. Last year's event had a reach of 179 million. If you would like to see some information about our events and how to get involved, head over to becreator.co.uk. Now, onto the show. Today on Be Creator Serious Influence, I'm joined by Bronte King, who is the founder of Gals Who Travel. This episode was recorded live at the Be Creator Travel Show.
I am Bronte King. I'm the founder of Gals Who. It started as Gals Who Graduate. It's now moved on to Gals Who, and we also have Gals Who Travel, which is why I'm here today.
And how did this all start? Let's take it back. What was the first social media platform you joined? When did you first realise that this could potentially be a career for you?
So I started influencing when I was at university, influencing, just posting on Instagram, really, my life. And then when I finished university, I realised there was literally no support for students and graduates at all. So I started a closed Facebook group. So Girls Who Graduate started on Facebook, which is quite rare these days. Facebook is a main source of social media. And it was a closed Facebook group. It was just full of girls that didn't know what to do after university, felt lost, didn't want to move home, had no friends because all the friends had gone back to their hometowns. And then it started like that.
A sort of quarter-life crisis.
Quarter-life crisis, yeah. Didn't want to call it that, but it was.
Started as Facebook page, then moved over to Instagram. So it was very much building community.
Yeah.
And you didn't realise that it would be able to turn into...
No, I didn't. I just saw it as like a space, safe space for girls to basically have a group chat. And then I hosted the first event, and 4 months later, the Instagram page came about. And I remember posting 4 months after being like, I want to host a trip in Bali. And it was like, obviously not going to happen. I just started Girls Who Graduate. And then we did our first trip to Bali about, I'd say, in September. And it was just like, I can't believe I posted that 4 months after I started Girls Who Graduate. And here we are with Girls Who Travel in Bali. That was just like crazy.
So what year are we in when this all once?
It was 2019. The day I finished university, I started Girls Who Graduate.
And do you still have the closed group? Are you adding members? Can people join? What is there a barrier to entry?
Oh, no barrier to entry. Okay. We're open to everyone, even if you haven't graduated. Any girls, we're just a big support network for girls doing anything, really. It's kind of turned into, we have the closed Facebook group as its main section, and the girls talk about it all the time and talk on it. And then we have Girls Who Travel, Girls Who Date, Girls Who Read, Girls Who Sweat, and Girls Who Graduate.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So do you do many brand deals just yourself as well, or would you say that as this being your career that most of the stuff is through the Gals Who? What's that split?
Yeah, so I have brand deals over on my main Instagram, which is Bronte King, but I cross them both. I'm so passionate about Girls Who Travel and Girls Who Graduate and Gals Who as a whole that I post so much about it on my own Instagram. So I do the brand deals, it pays the bills, it allows me to put so much time into Gals Who and reinvest in Girls Who.
So you've done the trip to Bali. Well, you've done more than that trip. So that was the first trip 4 months later.
So that was last year. We had 100 girls come to Bali with us.
Did you expect 100 people to sign up to it?
No. No.
So and that was one trip, or you must...
That was split into four. So we were meant to just do one trip for 30 girls, and then we had 750 people sign up in 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was... I never imagined it ever. I was just like, this is crazy. So then I asked... So we partnered with True Travels, who are a travel company.
I'd like to talk to you about how exactly this works, because we have many travel creators in the audience who have very engaged audiences, trying to find a way to meet up, connect, or go on a trip together, the administrative side of that, how much of a headache could that... How does this work?
Yeah, so Before I started Girls Who Travel, I had a DM from True Travels saying we'd absolutely love to do a Girls Who Graduate trip with you. And I was like, funnily enough, in 2 weeks, I'm about to launch Girls Who Travel, and that is a dream of mine to do a trip. And obviously, I didn't have the staff, I didn't have the money, I didn't have the facility to do my own trip. I wanted to be as safe as possible, run as smoothly as possible. So to have a travel company come to me and ask if they could basically host it and work with us to produce that was just a dream come true. So we've actually worked really closely with them now for nearly a year. I started Girls Who Travel, I announced the first trip nearly a year ago today. And basically we tailor their trips to what I would like to offer the girls. And then they supply the hotels, the tour guides, the transport, and just make it as safe as possible for the girls.
So are they sort of booking the flights and you're in charge more of the itineraries?
Yes, and also just getting the girls there and choosing what they'll do on the trips and stuff. But the True Travels team book all of the accommodation and everything.
And then how does that work? This is serious influence, you know, financially.
Yeah.
Is it?
We get commission.
Commission based on it. So if I were a travel creator, would you being like reaching out to True Travels, or are there, you know, how would you recommend somebody to starting one of these trips?
I'd say with the influencer industry, it's becoming so saturated, it's amazing, and people being able to show what they love and be so passionate about what they want to do online is an incredible space to do it. But it is becoming saturated, and I think finding your path and finding something that you do individually is really important. So I wouldn't recommend going after the same thing that you see someone doing online. If you want to do your own trip, then absolutely please go and do it, because I think it's an amazing thing to do. But maybe try and tailor it to your niche and tailor it to what you know your community want, rather than just being like, oh, I've seen that, I'm going to go to that company and just do exactly the same as that. I would definitely, if you want to find your path in the industry, especially the travel industry, go and find something that's really niche to your community. Like if they want to do like wellness retreats, then that would be a good place to go. If you think like not just female trips, then go to somewhere else. I think it's really important not to go after exactly what someone else is doing.
In terms of you planning the itinerary and making, you know, tailoring the existing kind of trips, what are the things that one could expect if they were to go on a Bronte King Girls Who Travel?
Honestly, making friends for life. Like, I've been on the trips and watching the girls from the start. Obviously, they're nervous, they're jet-lagged, they're tired, they're like, where am I? I've just basically time-travelled in a metal tube and now I'm here with random girls. And then watching them at the end and they're like, their posts are like, found my soulmate, found friends for life. Like, and I'm like, so emotional. And like, seeing them all meet up after. I think it really is finding like girls that love the same thing as you and are so passionate about the same thing as you and want to find new friends, and you're all in your 20s trying to navigate life and travel and see the world. And yeah, it's amazing seeing the friendships formed.
How many trips have you got planned this year? And you mentioned that 100 people signed up, you had the 750 overnight, but actually on a trip, is there a limit? So sort of 15 people?
There's 24 girls.
24 girls.
And we have got one launching, so 2024, we've got 4 trips a month happening. We've got about 5 Bali trips, 5 Thailand trips this year.
Are you on every...
No, imagine splitting myself in 4, just trying to be in Thailand, Costa Rica.
But do you think, is it reliant on you being there, or you're able to scale outside of yourself to the Girls Who brand?
I think it's become so focused on the community that it's like, I'm just going to go and be part of this Girls Who Travel community rather than go on holiday with me. I loved being there on the first few trips, but I can't be in many places months, and the demand is there for more trips. So I wanted to be able to be like, look, you're gonna have such an incredible time without me there. Like, this community is so loving and everyone just wants to make friends. You don't need me there.
Also a way to be scalable.
Yes, exactly. And it has really worked. It's worked really well. When I'm not on the trips, they still run incredibly and everyone has the best time. So
we talked about that you do brand deals on your own channel to supplement, which therefore you can invest back into Girls Who. Just going, you know, this podcast is about the business side of the influence industry. So to speak more broadly and from your kind of personal experiences, what was the first brand deal that you did? Do you remember it, or what has... Okay.
I do.
Do you regret it?
I think probably now, but my younger self, I was like, oh my God. I did teeth whitening.
Oh no. Like, oh God. Get her off the stage.
I know, but I remember it was like my first contract that came through, and I was at university, I had no money, and I think it was like £100 for a post and 3 stories, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can like buy all the girls drinks on a night out. And it was great. I mean, at the time, I loved it, and I thought, oh, this is it. I'm carving my way into the influencer industry. But now, obviously...
It is a good way to carve it in. I mean, it's it was prevalent.
It was a classic.
Although I do feel that we're not seeing as much teeth whitening or diet tea. Maybe we have come out...
I never did that.
...of the era.
Yeah, I hope so.
That was your first one. Favourite one?
Favourite
one and why?
I think it might be coming up. I'm going to Florida with Tui. To be able to go away with a brand like Tui to a place like Florida is just a dream come true.
What's been your worst experience on a brand deal and why?
I would say it was a trip. Learning from experience, from the worst experience, would be if you get offered a gifted trip, it's like, oh my God, free holiday. I was like, absolutely, flights included, everything. Ask where you're staying, the link to the hotel. Ask the schedule, ask what you're expected to do, how many hours you need to be with the team, all of that. Because I didn't, I just said, oh my God, that sounds incredible, I'll be there. And
what happened?
I flew home early.
Really?
Yeah.
Very bad hotel, very busy schedule.
It was a lot. Just learn from my experience. Just I just didn't ask, and next time you just ask and know what's expected before turning up.
In terms of press trips, what are your policies around that? It was interesting earlier today we had a panel and Kelsey was saying that a press trip, it is time out of your schedule, and if you're to do it, break it down hour by hour, and you're creating the content during the day and then you're networking at night, that it works out sometimes that that's below minimum wage. Is that something that you consider? Like, how do you differentiate with what you'll accept and what you will pass on?
I think I heard them say in the panel as well that if it's somewhere you really want to go and you know it will work with the audience, you really take that into consideration. If it's somewhere that you probably wouldn't normally go or post about and it's a brand that you don't normally speak about and it wouldn't work well with your audience, that's where you look at the rates. I think also, yeah, she's so right. Like, you take all the content during the day and then you go out for dinner, you're networking every single night, and you've got to look at also how much work you're going to miss out on not being in the country and not being able to be on your laptop the whole time and answer emails the whole time and not being able to create the content that you normally create. So I think that's really important, seeing how long you will be away from what you normally do.
When did you get management and what was the process of that?
So I've actually had management most of the time I've been in the industry. I first got signed to it was like a model management that slash they had an influencer section that didn't work out. I then moved to another management for 2 years. And I learned there that I love having a management, but I also love having the freedom to make my own decisions and choose what I want to do. And I'm very passionate about what I do. So having a management being like, oh, maybe not yet. Oh, yeah, maybe we'll think about that. I'm like, I don't like that. I want to be able to be like, I want to do this. Please help me. And that's what I found now. And I'm with a great management and they're so supportive of everything I do and are backing me the whole way. And that's what you need.
You had the first management, and then was that the modelling one, just to get that
yes.
bit, right?
And then I changed, and I was with a management for 2 years.
In the middle, right. What would you say to a creator who's thinking about getting management, things to watch out for, like what red flags?
I would always say do at least a three-month test, like a three-month just trial, and see how they work. And in those 3 months, obviously they're going to work so hard for you because they want to win you over. And then when those 3 months end, you need to ask, what are you going to do for me now? What's the long-term goals? How are you going to help me achieve these goals? I think not just jumping straight in and signing 2 years done.
What do you think are the roles that a manager should be doing for you? I mentioned what you actually like now is the fact that you are the decision maker and it's making your goals and dreams possible, but are you looking for them to bring work like brand deals yeah. into you as well? Yeah,
definitely. I think helping with that side of things, I think because I'm so busy with Gals Who, them replying to all the emails, getting good rates and signing all the contracts and doing all the behind the scenes things really saves me that time. If I had to do that myself, I think I wouldn't be able to do half the brand deals that I do now because I wouldn't have the time.
Do they vet some of the brand sponsorships that come in, and if it's just no, because this is also what Hannah Gajoni was saying, it's, you know, it's about that trust and really knowing each other. So will stuff get taken off the table, or do you want full visibility over everything that comes into the inbox?
Yeah, everything comes into my inbox right. and I forward it over to them. Okay. I like seeing what comes in, so then I forward it. I know I can chase on it and say, what's the update with this? I think that's really important. Some of my friends have managements and they have no access to what comes in through their inbox. It just goes straight to their management's inbox. And sometimes that's how people like working. Personally, I don't. I like being able to see what comes in. But also when things come in and it's maybe not the right rates, or it's not the right time to be posting it, or it's not the right company for my page, my management's so good in saying, we're not sure this is going to work. They don't you need a management that's not just there to get the commission. Mm. They know what works with your page, and they know what's going to do well on your page, and they know what you want to work with. I think that's really important, not just being like, right, do this campaign because it's good money.
Do you find that there is a preference in terms of platform that the brands are coming to now, and that they want you to be creating, you know, integrated YouTube videos or, you know, TikTokers on that?
I definitely say TikTok is obviously, it's everywhere. But it's there's so many platforms now. It's so much to keep up with.
How do you keep up with it all? Do you use editors? You know, that was, I remember showing our age now, 10 years ago, no one would ever talk about having like an editor to help.
Oh, yeah, no. I have a social media manager for Girls Who Graduate who keeps all the Girls Who Graduate Instagram page going, because it got to the point where I was like, I can't be doing 5 pages. Mm. And then I do my own, I do Girls Who Travel. And then I set myself days. So like on a Monday, I'll come up with all my content ideas for Girls Who Travel, for Reels, for TikToks, all of that. And I'll make sure they're done by a certain day. But that's only recent I've had to bring that in. Otherwise, I would just forget to do it or not do it or be lazy with it. I think it's being self-employed, you really have to set yourself a really strict schedule.
Then in terms of, you mentioned rates, budgets, again in the panel earlier, there was a mention of reviewing your channels and what you should be charging, that people would either doing that weekly or monthly, mm-hmm. and also platform by platform. So for instance, again, not asking you exactly what you charge, don't worry, not too much of a hot seat, but would you... You know, is creating a TikTok cheaper than creating, you know, in terms of your rates, cheaper than you would charge for an integrated YouTube video?
Yeah, so my main platform, which is where all the jobs come in, is Instagram. And actually, on the closed Facebook groups on Girls Who, so we'll add that into the package as well, because there's such a strong community on the Facebook groups, and they talk on there all the time. Everyone's so engaged on there that if we did put a post about a product that I was, or a company that I was also promoting on my Instagram, it kind of just resonates on there as well.
In terms of, you know, this is all about building community and growth. Do you have any other tips for people about how to grow? Like, is it consistency? Is it the type of content? Is it educational content? Mm-hmm. What are you finding that the algorithm is rewarding at the moment and also penalizing?
I think with Girls Who Travel, it's educational content on anything I see, informative content. Like, recommendations, where to travel, what to do when you're there, like even like airport hacks. Like I went to an airport recently and I was like, oh, go to this place, it's cheaper than this place. Like, people want to know the tips and tricks. I think as I was listening to Hand Baggage Only, they were saying how like the aesthetic videos of someone just walking through somewhere doesn't do as well now. Like, you need that like substance to your content, and that's what works. I've also found with the growth of, if you're growing a community, if you're looking to do that online, listening to what the community want and what they're asking for, and then growing with them. That's why we have Girls Who Read, because people wanted a book club. That's why we have Girls Who Date, because girls were posting about their dating life, breakups, all of that. So we've evolved with the community's needs, and I feel like that's where we still keep growing, because we're just adapting.
How does Girls Who Date work?
So it's just a closed Facebook group, and it's like a big group chat on there, and it's like, I think it's like 100,000 girls, and they all just talk about, like, there's girls saying, what should I wear on my first date tonight? And it's just like a really nice part of the community that didn't necessarily need to be part of Girls Who Graduate, but the community wanted that space to talk about that stuff, so we added that on.
You talked about earlier the press trips being really reading, getting the link to where you're staying, etc. When brand deals come through, have you noticed that there's this preference for TikTok, but that you are seeing different types of deliverables that they want? If a brand's approaching you with a deck, what do you want to see in that brief? And how do you negotiate on the rates as well on that?
So obviously I don't negotiate.
Yeah.
My manager does. So I don't have any part in that, but he will come to me and he'll say, you know, would you be happy to do this? It's always confirmed with me before it goes on.
Do the fees that come in, though, it comes into your inbox, you're having a look, like, do they vary wildly?
Yeah, they do come. Some come in, and actually some surprise you way more than you think. You think, I'm going to go in with something high and see if they come back, and they do. And you're like, wow, I never thought that budget would come from that. And it's really surprising. It really differs. I mean, also, someone was talking about earlier on a panel how usage fees have really changed packages as well, like adding usage, or just social coverage, all of that has really changed the amount that they pay. But
you have in your contracts, well, again, this is probably for management, but is it sort of 3 months usage, 6 months usage?
Yeah, and it depends on how much usage and how much paid they're going to put behind, paid spend they're going to put behind it as well.
When you did your teeth whitening, did you have anything on usage, or are we going to find you like billboards?
Yeah, probably. I'll probably give them like 10 years usage. I don't know, I signed the contract myself. I did not let anyone look at that. I was like, yeah, I want that £100. Yeah, it was a uni student that needed that £100.
We've said that we've seen those trends sort of fizzle out. What trends do you think we're seeing in the creator space like at the moment, and what are your predictions for the next year? What do you think we're going to see more of?
I really think, with especially in travel, like informative videos, it's like giving people, it's like Google, like people using TikTok for Google more than Google now. It's like, oh, I want to see where I'm going for dinner tonight. Oh, I'll just look at it on TikTok. People are looking for like user-generated content that's very easily accessible, and it's very relatable. It's relatable content. People want to be opened up to. People want to hear your everyday struggles. People want to hear what your experience was really like there. Like, it's being vulnerable and being open and relatable and easy to digest content.
You say that most of the brands are coming in for your Instagram, but from the way that you're speaking about platforms, would you say that TikTok was probably...
I enjoy TikTok. I enjoy just the how easy it is. I don't think about too much what I'm posting. I just kind of post. It's like short form video. I talk to camera and then off it goes. I post it. With Instagram, I think a bit more about what I put on. TikTok, I've never really... I see Instagram as like my job, and I see TikTok more as like a fun place that I can reach more people.
I've heard a lot of people sort of saying that Instagram is sort of the aesthetic, but yeah, the TikTok is the...
Oh, I just post whatever. Yeah. I literally just woken up, making my morning smoothie, like can't even see yet, and I just post it and I don't care, so...
Talk to me about your personal goals for the next 18 months.
My goal is to... So we hosted a female diversity careers fair for Girls Who Graduate. And Girls Who Graduate is like my OG, it's what I started, I love it. It's like my little baby that's growing. And as much as I love Girls Who Travel, Girls Who Graduate is where it all started. So just sticking with that and seeing that grow, and hosting my own careers fair with Girls Who Graduate, just to keep helping the girls find jobs. And it's a space where the girls can go and not feel intimidated to go up to a person at a jobs fair and be like, can I apply? It's more just like you're going to walk away feeling so motivated to apply for that job and be like, wow, I think I found my next career path. So that's with Girls Who Graduate. With Girls Who Travel, just keep pushing out trips and letting the girls make new friends, and yeah, just keep pushing out trips and get as many going.
And so when you're seeing sort of Girls Who, this is very much, it's your community, but it's also your business, and that this is what's going to scale. And it's all been self-funded thus far through. Would you consider going out and doing an investment round? Are you looking to fundraise? Is that going to be?
Yeah, it's in the top.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot I need to learn. So I sit in some meetings and I'm like, I don't know what just happened. But you learn and you ask questions and you learn on the job. And I didn't go to university and study business. I've never looked into that, but I'm learning on the job and I love it. And I would absolutely love to go and look for investment and upscale and everything, but it takes time.
Yeah.
And
do you think that
the right people.
You'd want a business partner as well? Or you?
I do love doing it by myself.
Yeah.
And also, I'm very lucky that I have a supportive management who I can go to about all of that and get advice. And also my dad, who's like my business advisor. I voice note him like, what did that mean? So having that as well is great. But yeah, that
sometimes
is the plan.
I think there is a very unnecessary sort of business jargon. But you get this in terms of the data in the creator industry as well. People start speaking to you and just like...
I know.
Three letters and I was like,
yeah. Oh yeah, honestly, some words that have come out of meetings, I'm like, did we need to say that? Could we just
Let's actually talk a little bit about data. You've got your brief, you've accepted it, you've done the campaign, you want your as much creative freedom, I'm guessing, as possible. Then the reporting happens. So what are you sending? Are you part of any data platform that is monitoring these things, or is it mainly like screenshots? What return on investment?
Yes, yeah, so I absolutely love doing story content for brands because that's where I find it the most engaging. I can talk to my audience, I can talk to the community, and I can really get my point across on how passionate I am about working with a certain brand. So I always see the best engagement in stories, click-throughs, everything like that. That is where I feel like...
I find it changed, though, when it went from swipe up to click.
And I kept saying swipe up, and it was a sticker on the screen. I still say swipe up.
I miss swipe up.
I miss swipe up so much. I screenshot all my impressions and send them over. And also, like they were saying earlier on a panel, if there's any DMs that come through that's related to the to the campaign, then I'll send them through as well. Any other
positive brand sentiment.
Yeah.
So with TikTok and the different type of content, lots of people talk about repurposing content. You know, now we have YouTube Shorts, mm-hmm. we have Reels, we've got a big surge in vertical short form video. But would you actually recommend people repurposing, because the audiences and even the platform voice can be so different?
Yeah, I do. I was listening to a podcast the other day on repurposing content, and the girl on it was saying, keep posting that video. If you think that's a viral video, keep posting it. Whether you could have got the wrong time, you could have posted it in the morning when actually no one wanted to watch TikTok that morning, and then you post it that evening and it blows up and it's got 5 million views. So I think I've repurposed content from Girls Who Travel because it's very real focused, it's very short form video focused, so I do repurpose it onto TikTok, and sometimes that will blow up on TikTok, and I've already posted it on Instagram and it will hardly get any views on that. So I do think repurposing content is a good way of reaching a new audience.
A big thanks to Bronte for coming on the show.